Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, the 31st day of July, 2023. I'll be so happy to say goodbye to July. Put it in the rearview mirror, I'll tell you, after this crazy weekend. And I know many of you listening are saying, yeah, Bill, it was not a normal weekend. It started out that way. I thought it was going to be a great weekend, but a little bit after six, we were hit with a monster. And I know I used that term about two weeks ago today when the first monster storm hit us. And that was a one in a 100-year event for us in the central foothills. Guess what? We had a second 100-year event on Friday night, but this one was worse. And if you've been around Tucson for a long time, everybody's on the same page. This was the worst storm in anybody's memory. And I've talked to the people at TEP. They say they've never in recent memory had the amount of work orders that came in. Well, we're lucky, though, at our home in the Flecha Caída area. I have never seen so many trees that are down in our area, but I say we're lucky because at least we've got a roof over our head. There are blue tarps on three of our homeowners on the street, so lots of roofs blown off. But who knows? It might have been 100-mile-an-hour winds, but it was something else. I'll talk a little bit about that throughout the show because my first guest doesn't live that far away from me up in the Flecha Caída area, and I'll introduce Judy Lowe in a moment. But first, I want to say we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. They've been a wonderful supporter of ours. They have the naming rights to our studio, and we are at 1030 KVOI, Tucson Source, for trusted news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We also have all of our podcasts that go back to our first show in January of 2011 on the radio. They're all there. I'd say 99% of all of our shows are now archived, ready to listen. A lot of great, now becoming of historic proportions. The Buckmaster Live Line for our phone interviews brought to you by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Okay, it's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I wonder if Moe had any damage over on Fort Lowell. I would suspect their power went out. I know that area, again, was part of the grid that really got hit hard. Mo, family-owned and run since 1985. Mo specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Mo comes out. He'll make a house call, and he will gladly put up the art that you had him frame put up on your wall. And it'll be just the way you want it, and he's the pro, and he gets up on the ladder and makes sure it is just right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview, Judy Lowe returns to our program. She's always a great guest. She is the CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Acronym there is TAR. Judy joined TAR after serving a dozen years as the commissioner of the Arizona Department of Real Estate, making Judy one of the longest-running commissioners in the history of that state agency. Judy, great to see you.
It's great to be here, Bill.
You assessing the damage like we are up at our house. We had we were lucky, a tree service. Now, they didn't come out and do the job this morning. They came out and gave us an assessment, but they were all over up and down our street. Different. There must be, I think, 12 different tree services in town, and I think each one of their trucks was represented. All right, you had damage, too, probably, on the property.
We did. Yeah. We did. Craycroft and Sunrise.
Oh, yeah.
Golf ball size hail hitting the windows and the front of the building. It was. I grew up in Tucson.
Tell us, Judy.
And
I
it's
know
one
you grew
of
up.
The worst storms I've ever remembered.
Would you characterize it as certainly one of the three worst storms you've
Absolutely.
Ever seen in Tucson?
Absolutely.
Just of historic proportion. All right. How are we doing with the real estate situation? We're going to take a couple of 10-minute segments with you today. Why don't we give us the overall view? How are we doing?
Well, I think the last time you and I talked here, I used the phrase a headwind, a little bit of a headwind. Mm-hmm. The interest rates were going up. Not as much as we've seen them going up here recently. You know, we're almost at 7%.
That's and quite a bit, isn't it?
That yeah. makes a huge difference in the monthly payment and the qualifying ability of our first, especially our first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, I like to remind everyone when they're feeling that 7% is high, that when I was in real estate sales here, interest rates were 17%.
Yeah. Now, that would be, I'm guessing that was the Carter administration.
You're absolutely right.
And that was, I think of those days, and I think of the gas lines kind of the out of sight inflation. I must have been, I don't know how old I was, probably working for NBC Radio up in Las Vegas in the 70s. So, I don't really think it impacted we were a young couple and kind of had bought our first home. But now, when you look back, that was really the worst, that inflation. And you were trying to sell homes in that environment?
At 17%.
How did you, I mean, people, well, I shouldn't. I should answer my own question, I guess, because we bought our first home. It was a townhome up in Las Vegas in the mid-70s. So we would have had to have paid an incredibly outrageous. So if you want, if certain people like myself, we're going to buy a home regardless.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And you'll work it out.
Yes.
And you'll realize the benefits of it a few years down the road.
Yeah.
When the market changes and you've had appreciation, my husband and I have realized that positive ownership several times in our long marriage.
And yeah.
It just never ceases to amaze me that we start and young people buy homes, and before you know it, they're selling their home to move up
mm-hmm.
or to take a job out of the area
yeah.
where they're going to plan on buying.
Sure.
So it is a...
people find a way.
They do.
If you need to make a move, you are going to do it regardless of what the interest rate is. But it does affect those that are on the fence and saying, you know, they're thinking, well, do we really need to, perhaps maybe we should delay a move?
Well, and you can always make that decision.
Yeah.
However, the longer you put it off, you never know what the future is going to hold. We are not seeing pricing come down very much in Tucson at all.
Where are we in pricing, Judy?
Our average is about 350. No, our median is 350,000.
Yeah, people always get confused between the median and the average.
That's right. The median means half sold above that and half sold below that.
Right.
And the average is everything divided by the number of sales.
Mm-hmm.
And our average, believe it or not, in Tucson, Arizona, is 415,000.
You got to be kidding. That's a half million?
It's half million.
For the average.
That's the average. Now, our halfway mark is 350, and I would say that that's where the most of our sales are happening.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we are continuing to see that I think we talked about the last time I was here too is that shortage of inventory. You know, those buyers who did buy mm-hmm. at 3% a year or two ago,
mm-hmm.
they want to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not putting their home on the market
mm-hmm.
unless they have to, unless they're moving out of the area, taking a job somewhere, leaving Tucson. But We're still seeing fewer homes coming on the market. Those that are coming on the market are selling in about 45 to 50 days.
Okay. That's a little longer than a while back when we had you on the show. That number at one point got within 30 days.
30 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's when our interest rates were low. And those first-time home buyers who had saved up a little bit for a down payment were anxious to buy.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have enough properties on the market either. So the housing supply bill is a real issue for Tucson right now.
When you say inventory, give us some idea what we're talking about. How many homes approximately are available, and is that, you say that is low?
Well, we've taken about 8,000 year to date, 8,000 new properties coming on the market. When we look at how many are currently on the market, it's around 6,000.
Okay.
We are seeing our pending sales still strong, but not as strong as you would think.
Mm. We'll take a break right here. Judy Lowe is with us. It's our Monday one-on-one. Still have a lot to talk about with Judy and what the future may hold here for the rest of the year and looking at 2024. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A Monday, we kick off the week with something we call the Monday One-on-One. And I'm happy we did it. We used to do the Monday political face-off for years and years. And quite honestly, I'd had it with the face-off. I don't want to start my week with two people arguing about politics. I'd rather bring in people like Judy Lowe to do our one-on-one, and she is our guest this week. Judy is the CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. The thing about our one-on-one, Judy, I'm having fun because the variety of people and from every imaginable walk of life that I get to interview, it really kind of keeps me energized.
Exciting.
And it is exciting, and that's why I come to work every day to try to learn something new. And I learned something new from you during the break. 93,000 realtors are licensed in the state of Arizona.
And you can't call them realtors because only 65,000 of those 98,000 are realtors.
Really?
Everyone thinks that everyone that has a real estate license is a realtor.
Yeah, so these are people that have a license, but that doesn't really tell the story, is what you're saying.
No. Yeah. The Tucson Association of Realtors is the trade association for the real estate licensees in Arizona. Only 65,000 of the total licensees have joined our local associations around the state of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between a regular licensee and a realtor? A realtor subscribes to a code of ethics, professional standards within our industry. Mm-hmm. They get extra education on an ongoing basis, sometimes weekly, sometimes once a month. All licensees are required to do continuing education, but our real estate realtors get extra, learning about the water issues of Arizona, learning about the zoning, and we just had someone from the land department, state land department. We packed the room with over 150 realtors and Southern Arizona home builders who came to hear about what is the future of land usage in the state of Arizona.
Wow.
And that's the kind of knowledge that a realtor gains by belonging to the Association of Realtors.
So the groups that these as you say, they're licensees. And one of your jobs during the 12 years that you headed up the state commission on real estate, or state department of real estate, and you were the commissioner, did you look for bad apples?
Absolutely. And bad apples.
And try to drum the bad apples out of the profession.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to really look at, are those 93,000 really committed to protecting the consumer in their real estate transaction? You know, real estate on your own without a realtor is a tough road to hoe.
It is legal, though.
It is legal, absolutely.
Yeah. Because I think in some states it may not be. I don't know that, but
I don't know that either.
Anyway, Bill, we had a caller during the break who wanted to ask, Judy, do you know anything about title deeds being stolen? Is that a problem?
It is, and it's primarily, well, it's across the country. Uh-huh. And it's individuals who really don't own a piece of land. However, they put it on the market. They act as if they own it through the entire process. They actually close on the sale.
Fake owners, in effect?
That's right. Whoa. Collect the receipts, the payment by the buyer, and the buyer finds out that the seller did not have the right to sell that piece of land. Usually it's vacant land, a lot of that in Arizona, a lot of foreign ownership, not living in Arizona, not going to see the property on an ongoing basis, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And these phony sellers are searching the tax records In some cases, modifying those tax records and then acting as the seller of the property, going through escrow, all of those.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea.
That's right.
So I learned something else with you, Judy. Judy Lowe is our one-on-one guest, the one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. So look into your crystal ball. What do we look like for the rest of the year and then in 24 for local real estate?
Nobody has a crystal ball.
Of course
not. Having looked at the interest rates, I'm hoping that we've capped out. I believe that with the interest rates the way they are right now, it's still a good time to buy. I don't think we'll see them come down much. I was just telling you earlier, mm-hmm. when I was in sales here in Tucson, interest rates were 17%.
Yeah.
Now they're just under 7%.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think there's kind of a feeling maybe they've peaked, right?
I would like to think that they've peaked. Everybody says maybe just one more tick up.
Yeah, one more tick up.
I think just under 7% is a good average. We may never see the 2 and 3, 4% interest rate again for a while. Waiting for it to come down may not be the thing to do.
Excuse me, Judy, I kind of interrupted you there. But the big issue is water sustainability right now. And the realtors are going to have a say in this and a seat at the table.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And get some good, strong education around it so we can speak to the issues. Conservation is what we all need to be thinking about.
And luckily, there's been a conservation ethic here in Tucson for 40 or 50 years. We were kind of at the forefront, this city, in water conservation.
You're right.
Yeah.
Of all of this, the mm-hmm. local communities in Arizona, yes. we're the front runner.
Mm-hmm.
We have our reserves in place. We're still going to have to look at conservation. Thinking about the swimming pools and things
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
Not to say they shouldn't exist,
no.
but how can we monitor the water usage on an ongoing basis?
Because, like when our home was built and up in the Fletcher Caeta area, which was really kind of Fletcher Caeta Estates, as you know, Judy, was one of Tucson's first kind of foothills development. I think originally everybody was zoned for a couple of acres and horses were allowed on the
right.
And everybody had a pool. That was kind of the thinking, I guess, when those homes were built in the late 50s and 60s. That was just part of Southwest living.
That's
everybody
right.
had a pool. That whole thinking is being, maybe we shouldn't all have swimming pools.
That's right. That and golf courses.
And golf courses.
Yes.
Yeah, which are using a lot of water. And I understand people aren't playing golf as much as they used to, but that's for another show. All right. So as far as the average price, but the inventory is something that seemed to jump out at you when you look at the numbers.
It did, and we're not as bad as we were a year ago. However, we've taken 8,000 new listings since January, and that's pretty strong. Our listing inventory it is not as strong as we'd like it. However, those buyers who bought with a 3% mortgage are not wanting to sell.
No.
Unless they're taking a job or moving away.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hanging on to it. Many of them, though, have now decided they want to move up in the market. So they're holding on to what they have and putting it on the rental market and moving up and qualifying for something just a little bit higher than what they own currently. So it's still a positive market. It has slowed down.
And new building permits are really slow, aren't they, right now?
They're slowing down.
One
thing that we're looking at from the real estate resale perspective is showing the new home product that our builders are building.
Mm-hmm.
And getting in our area tours, taking our potential buyers out to see new product compare that to existing product, and make their decision whether they'll wait a little longer, get an escrow on a new home, and wait out the build period and stay in their current home, or whether they want to move right away.
Are you seeing more infill on this within the area? Homes being put on in vacant lots or anything like that?
Well, we're seeing more of our contractors wanting to do that. However, you know, our planning and development downtown has got to loosen up a little bit and start.
And there is new leadership there.
You're right, Bill.
And we'll be talking with the new leader who comes to Tucson highly regarded from the state of Nevada, where she was, I believe, involved with the Department of Transportation. So we're going to talk to her in October, because people have complained for years, Judy, as you know, that things move too slowly in the planning department in the city of Tucson. Judy, always a pleasure. We are out of time already, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
Great.
Judy
Great,
Lowe,
Bill.
Our one-on-one, Monday one-on-one guest. Presented, the one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fort Lowell, right next to Copenhagen. Their website is moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the final day of July, and I'm telling you, after those two 1-in-100-year weather events up in our area in the central foothills, Green Things is going to be really busy, because I'm telling you, our garden is really looking sad. And it's sad because we've had some of these plants for years, but you know, it wasn't the wind. It was that both storms had such damaging hail and just ripped apart some of our beautiful plants. So I'll be knocking at the door of Green Things along with a lot of people. Their 13-acre site has everything you need for your garden and some beautiful home items as well, home merchandise at Zocalo Village. Beautiful handcrafted dining room sets, and of course, for the garden. Or you could have some of that beautiful Talavera pottery indoors as well, Zocalo Village. So the two websites, keep in mind, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com, over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Let's bring in now on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Planning Development, District 2 Democrat, Pima County Supervisor, Dr. Matt Hines. Hey, Dr. Hines, how are you after a crazy, wild weekend? At least it was for us.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, Bill, it's monsoons, but it's extra special this year, I guess.
It is extra special. These are violent storms. I have been in town 35 years, never seen so many trees uprooted in our area of Flecha Caída, which is between Swan and Craycroft, just north of River. On our street alone, three homes with those big blue tarps where the roof just blew away. Right. And so huge trees uprooted, I know, on our property. And then there was the issue, Matt, with the power. We were out of power. There were about 150 homes in our little area that were out for 44 hours. Wow. Matt, as you know, as a physician, this becomes a health emergency.
Oh, sure. That could be a death sentence for some people, for sure. And that's one of the reasons why the county stood up and advertised additional cooling stations, for example, the Keno Sports Complex and others around the city, to help folks who were unable to get, you know, frankly, safe living conditions for some of that time.
Yes. And people will say, well, Bill, why didn't you just go to a hotel? Well, I'll be honest. I did finally on Saturday night. But my wife refused to leave because we have a very ill cat who is not movable. So, you know, other than a few fans that were operating on batteries, she was in a house that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon was 95 degrees. Yeah.
Good grief.
I know.
It was incredible. And I remember when the first, not this most immediate one, but the one from like a week and a half or two before that, one of our first major violent monsoons that I watched just in front of the emergency department at my hospital, watched the helicopter pad out there where I usually park underneath it. First time in, I don't know, months and months that I did not. And so I watched my vehicle getting pelted by, you know, 2 and 3 centimeter pieces of hail.
Yeah.
And it didn't really matter because I saw cars all the way into, you know, very, very far. I'm thinking 25, 30 feet underneath that concrete slab helicopter pad. They were getting hit with the hail because it was going basically sideways, right? It was pretty crazy.
I know. So anyway, it's a dangerous time. We've actually had at least two dozen heat-related deaths, unfortunately, in Pima County.
That's right.
And it is important to remind people that these symptoms for heat exhaustion or whatever the proper the dehydration will come on kind of subtly. You'll start to feel dizzy, I guess, Dr. Hines, and it goes downhill quickly from there, doesn't it?
That's for sure. I've treated hundreds in my career, but dozens are coming in. Even it doesn't always necessarily have to get to the point of near death and heat exhaustion. Just so many of my patients coming into the hospital now, and along with other things that might be going on, have their conditions complicated by significant and sometimes in some cases more severe dehydration as well.
Let's talk a little bit about Pima County employees. They will be getting a raise, correct?
That is right. And it's, as with everything, it's complicated. So this comprehensive, salary class compensation study that we had done took quite a long time, a bit longer than we were expecting. And it's going to be, this has never been done, like, since 1864. So it's never, ever been done in at this level, surely, ever in the history of Pima County. So phase one was approved by the board, and that's going to be just under $10 million in adjustments and whatnot. But there's a phase two and a phase three, and, we're trying to right-size everything. In the past, it was higher at the minimum level possible in terms of minimum wage, minimum pay levels, and just hope and pray that we retain these folks versus, private sector. That isn't a really great way to run a railroad or run a government in this case. So that I really appreciate what we've been able to do, and I'm proud of the board for moving forward. But it is going to be a process. It's going to take some time to do all this. It's going to be a month-long process to get everybody sorted out and properly classified and have everything adjusted. So just encouraging everyone to look forward to that, but also be a bit patient.
This is really, it did require kind of some specialists, and I know there was some were grumbling that why did the board go and hire this company that did this work, but this is really kind of specialized work, isn't it, Matt Hines?
Oh, for sure it is. It really is, and there are detractors even on my own board that were speaking against this, and look, it does take a long time, and every all these different subsections of and I would say not in 100% of the cases that I agree. I think in some of the study maybe wasn't quite accurate based on our own regional concerns with particular fields, like a lot of the artisans, masons, electricians, carpenters, these kinds of folks. It is particularly difficult to get these specialists in our area. And I think that, the compensation study perhaps didn't go far enough in taking some of that scarcity into account here. So we may have to make, the board may have to collectively put its fingers on the scale a bit to make some further adjustments, which is fine. If we need to make it a little bit better and more relevant to our specific area due to those kinds of needs, that's perfectly fine. That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, it's so hard to find, especially like IT people and, well, the county, some departments I understand have as many as 30% of vacant seats at the office. This might help in the recruiting of people when this whole thing is ironed out, Dr. Hines.
That's right. And that's really key. We have had, during when I came into office, I was told, I thought the remarkable number, I think it was 18%. It was 17 or 18% vacancies. We have nearly 7,000 positions, but we only had, I think, 5,600 or 5,700 employees at the time. And now that's down. That's down to, I believe it's down to 14 or just under 14% in terms of vacancies. So that's excellent. And I believe that we're going to improve that significantly now that we're able to give people credit for relevant work experience in a particular field, and we don't have to start everybody at the absolute lowest rung of the ladder in any particular category of employment. We have a lot more. Our supervisors throughout, you know, the various agencies now have some ability to really to fight for these and to compete for these workers who are, of course, in many cases, highly sought after in the private sector.
Yeah, and I know that the county, and kudos to Administrator Jan Lesher, she's really been pushing the job fairs, Dr. Hines.
Yes.
And that's paying off. You're getting more people now that are interested in, if not a full long career, and a lot of people don't want that these days, at least they are filling some of these vacancies.
Sure, absolutely right.
All right, let's take a break right here. We'll have more with Dr. Matt Hines. Pima County employees can now run for office while retaining their jobs. We'll hear what Dr. Hines has to say on that issue as we take a break. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, looking for a place to cool off. May I suggest Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where the temperature usually, probably 99% of the time, is going to be cooler. This time of year, it's going to be about 10 degrees cooler because of the mile-high elevation over in Silver City. So it makes a very pleasant getaway, and it's only about a three-hour drive. So jump on the motorcycle, jump in the car, the truck, head for Silver City to cool off. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. I like their midday temperature, by the way. Thanks, John, for putting that on the screen. Upper 80s, overnight lows, lower 60s. I could handle that, so I think we all could. Wow. All right. SouthwestNewMexico.org. Joining us now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, checking in with Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, you first proposed a change to Pima County policy in early June, and then the board finally adopted this policy change on July 11th. What I'm talking about is Pima County employees can now run for office while still retaining their jobs. What's this all about?
Well, so, I mean, and certainly if any county employee is not able to, to do the work, to take care of their workload and fulfill the duties of their particular employment obligation for the county, then that is a completely different story. So this isn't giving some special, privilege to not come in or to, not get their reports or get, to do the work for the county for some reason while they're running for office. But it is an acknowledgement that folks that are in government positions often know quite a lot about how these systems work or don't. And I think, honestly, that it seems kind of weirdly almost punitive that forcing someone, if they choose to just seek, not even get elected to, but if they choose to just seek elective office, that they would be forced by Pima County to go without pay. And that essentially basically prevents people from doing it, because I don't know about you, but I can just stop making, having gainful employment for 16 months or 18 months to run for office. So it just seemed just unfair. And honestly, it seemed like it was prohibiting some of the probably better qualified people in our community who know not just county, but lots of forms of government and how they interact quite well, and should be folks that are part of the conversation and should be folks that the voters have the ability to select from if they so choose.
That unpaid leave, I've been in town 35 years, Dr. Hines. I think that's been, it's been on the books forever, it seems.
Since, I believe, the mid or maybe early 90s, I think.
Oh, really? Early 90s? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it turns out, like, in doing a little bit of research, it seems like that was put into place then for a particular elected county official. I think concern over someone maybe in their, department or office running against them. It was actually put into place for a particular situation, which I think is just not a great way to develop and implement policy.
Yeah, and the detractors on this, there were two dissenting votes. I believe it was Supervisor Scott and Supervisor Christie opposing. I think their concern was that there might be some repercussions in departments where if someone had chose to run against a department head or something, that things could get rather maybe uncomfortable in the office.
Sure, certainly. But look, we're all adults. If one of my own staff members wants to run against me for my seat, which they're welcome to do, they need to let their supervising, whoever their supervisor is, know. And they need to make sure to be transparent about it, but they should not be forced to leave their work or essentially, I guess they don't lose their job, but they don't get paid, right? Their job is held for them for the time that they're away campaigning, but they don't get paid, which obviously is a huge, huge barrier for this. So I think that we can get through that. And it, as I mentioned, nothing is excusing any employee of the county from doing the duties that they are that they have signed up to do, they're contractually obligated to do for the county, whatever that is, whether they're you know, a sheriff's deputy, or whether it's my chief of staff, or whether it's, you know, somebody in, you know, pick an area, right? They still have to do what they have committed to do for their employment. And if they cannot do that as well and conduct a campaign at the same time, then they will have to work out some arrangement where they go to a part-time situation or do take a leave for part of that time. But, you know, I have confidence that we are all adults and are able to, you know, we'll be able to be just fine. It was not the policy prior to, and I don't have the exact year, but sometime in the mid or early 90s.
Okay.
I think that it's something that we need to go back to. And so, yeah, I think it makes sense for the people.
What are you thinking about your own personal plans while we're thinking about running for office? Are you going to seek a stand for a second term?
I am, yeah. I have, and now, unlike spending 7 or 8 days running around with masks and gloves and a whole thing of pens because, you know, like trying to get signatures on a piece of paper during a pandemic when everyone's freaking out, it will be a much, you know, much easier process just because we now have finally, just like state legislative candidates and others, congressional candidates, now Pima County, like multiple other counties, candidates for not only supervisor spots, but also for any of the countywide offices as well, can collect signatures for their petitions electronically.
You know, bringing up pens, I was reflecting on the early days of the pandemic, and people were, and I guess very rightly so, didn't know much about the transmission of COVID-19, and there were a lot of worries that some people would like spray their mail with disinfectant, or they would like wear gloves to open a box that came from Amazon
delivered by UPS.
We didn't know really about that. This was like really being spread mainly through the environment, through the air, not so much on the surface. So, and of course, we all remember you'd go in someplace, would say, here is the pile of the clean pens and the unclean. But those were scary times, those early days.
We just didn't know. And it was believed earlier on that there could be some more significant component of a contact-based transmission. But as you know, as once we had some time to look into this, it was clearly, you know, at least from the medical community's perspective, it was a respiratory droplet-borne virus. But, you know, how hardy is it? How tenacious is it? How well can it survive hanging out on a surface, on a doorknob, on a window, on a door handle, whatever? Once that droplet dries, does it completely die and deactivate like HIV, which is actually, as viruses go, fairly sensitive, pretty wimpy actually, in terms of not what it does to the body once it's in there, but it can't survive just laying around the environment. When something dries out, it's done. We didn't know that, but it is truly, as you say, a very, very, very small fractional percentage in terms of what we see transmitted for COVID and most respiratory viruses, it's droplets.
You're still seeing COVID, though, certainly at the hospital.
Yeah, we are. I don't think we'll ever not see some small amount of it, because it's just kind of here. You know, now we've kind of transitioned from that pandemic to endemic, so it's deal-withable. But you know, I think we did miss out on an opportunity to completely eradicate things because of our sort of haphazard patchwork quilt response all across the country, and 35% to 40% of the people in this nation refusing to do what's right for public health. And we still have people showing up at our board meetings screaming at us about how we supposedly harmed people by requiring folks, for the safety of the public and for the public good and wellness, to be vaccinated as county employees, for example. We still have people coming in, even though there's no such requirement and hasn't been for, I think, over a year plus now.
Wow.
it's still happening, you know?
All right. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Senator Hines. I just elevated you. There you go, Supervisor Hines. It's been a tough weekend for me.
Give me a little slack.
All right. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, sir. Have a good one.
Okay. All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show Monday edition. Considering the weekend I had, I think we did pretty darn well. Have a great afternoon, everybody.